Okay, so imagine you finally find it. That dream deal for like affordable housing in a huge complex sounds pretty good, right? But then what if the shares you buy, well, what if they aren't what you thought they were?
That's exactly what happened at Co-op City in New York.
Oh, wow.
And it triggered a massive legal battle that went all the way to the Supreme Court, United Housing Foundation v. Forman.
Okay.
This case, well, it's like super important for understanding how the law separates real investments from other kinds of transactions. And get this, it has huge implications for everything. Real estate, even, believe it or not, cryptocurrency.
Whoa, crypto.
Yeah.
How does a 1975 housing case connect to crypto?
Well, you see, it all comes down to how we define a security. The case really digs into like the core of what makes something a true investment. And that definition, well, it's always evolving, especially with all the new technologies and financial stuff popping up.
Okay, yeah, that makes sense. So let's rewind back to 1975. Can you paint a picture of Co-op City for us? What was the whole deal?
All right, so picture this massive housing complex in the Bronx, Co-op City.
Okay.
The goal. Affordable housing, simple enough, right? To snag an apartment, residents would buy these shares in the River Bay Corporation, the company that owned and ran the whole complex. Sounds straightforward, right?
Yeah, totally. But I have a feeling there's a twist coming.
Oh, there is. These shares, well, they weren't your typical stock. You couldn't just like trade them freely on the market. No dividends, and their resale value, it was fixed. Think of it more like a membership fee to get into this affordable housing club, not so much an investment in the traditional sense.
Ah, okay. So people thought they were getting this awesome deal on affordable housing, but the structure of the whole thing was a bit more, well, a bit more complicated.
Exactly. And this little detail, well, it became a major issue when the cost of living in Co-op City started going up.
Makes sense.
Initially, they had these super low rents, which was a huge draw.
Right.
But like a lot of construction projects, things got more expensive. Costs went through the roof. Monthly charges skyrocketed. The residents, they felt misled and frustrated, to say the least.
Yeah, I bet. I mean, nobody likes those surprise price hikes.
Right.
So what do they do about it?
Well, a group of these residents, led by Milton Forman, decided they weren't going to take it lying down.
Good for them.
They filed a class action lawsuit.
Okay.
But here's the thing, it wasn't your typical housing dispute. They claimed securities fraud.
Wait, hold on. Securities fraud, that seems like a pretty bold move for what sounds like a housing problem. What was their thinking there?
Well, their argument basically boiled down to this. They bought shares, right? So they figured they were part of a typical investment scenario. This raised a pretty big legal question that eventually landed in the Supreme Court's lap. Was buying into Co-op City actually an investment in a security, the kind that falls under all those federal regulations? Or was it just a plain old real estate transaction?
Interesting. So that's where the Howey test comes in, right? The one we always hear about in securities law.
Bingo, the Howey test, which, fun fact, comes from a 1946 Supreme Court case about, get this, citrus groves in Florida.
Citrus grows, seriously.
Yeah, seriously, it helps determine whether something is truly an investment contract.
Okay, citrus grows and investment contracts. I'm all ears. How does this all connect?
So the Howey test lays out three key things to look at when figuring out if something is a security. First, did people put money into it? Second, was there this common enterprise, like a pooling of funds for a shared goal?
Okay, got it.
And third, and this is the big one, was there a reasonable expectation of making a profit primarily from the efforts of others?
Okay, so let me see if I've got this straight. If you put money into something and you're hoping to make a profit based on someone else's work, then you're probably dealing with a security. But if you're buying something for your own personal use, like buying a house to live in, then it's probably not a security.
Right, you're getting it. Now, let's apply that to our Co-op City situation. It's clear the residents put in money, right? And they were definitely all in on this shared venture, the whole housing cooperative thing. But the real question is, were they expecting to make a profit?
Yeah, that's the tricky part, because they were mainly looking for a place to live, not necessarily trying to get rich, but they did buy shares. So how did the court deal with that?
Well, that's where things get really interesting. The residents argued, hey, we bought shares, so it has to be a security, right? But the Supreme Court, they weren't buying it. They basically said, hold on, just calling something stock doesn't automatically make it a security.
Right.
What really matters is the substance of the deal. Like, what's the economic reality of the situation?
So they were looking beyond the label, trying to figure out the true purpose of the whole thing.
Exactly, right. And that's super important for, well, for anyone trying to understand transactions, especially in law, you know. You can't just take things at face value. Got to look past the labels, the marketing jargon, all that, and really dig into the economic reality of a deal. Like, is it all about making a profit, or is there something else going on?
Yeah, so it's like, don't just tell me it's a duck. Show me it waddles and quacks like one, too.
Ha! That's a perfect way to put it. And in the Co-op City case, the court was like, these folks, they weren't trying to play the stock market. They were just trying to find a decent place to live. Their whole purchase, it was tied to their need for housing, not some scheme to make a quick buck on Wall Street.
So basically, this is Main Street, not Wall Street.
Exactly. And that made all the difference when they decided that those Co-op City shares, well, they weren't securities.
Okay, makes sense. So the residents weren't trying to become Wall Street moguls. They just wanted a roof over their heads. But what about that dissenting opinion? I mean, not everyone on the court agreed with the majority, right?
That's right. Justice Brennan had a different take on it. And his opinion, it's actually really interesting when you think about today's financial world, you know, with crowdfunding, fractional ownership, all that, especially digital assets.
Hold on. A dissenting opinion from 1975 is relevant to, like, crypto. Now I'm really curious.
You see, Brennan focused on a couple of things. First, he pointed out that River Bay, the company running Co-op City, well, they own some commercial spaces within the complex. And those spaces, they generated income. So there was a chance, at least, that the residents could benefit financially, even if that wasn't their primary goal.
Ah, so he saw a potential profit angle there, even if it wasn't the main reason people bought into Co-op City.
Exactly. He also pointed out that residents got tax breaks for owning those shares. To Brennan, these factors hinted at a, well, a profit potential that shouldn't be ignored. And considering the sheer size and complexity of Co-op City, plus those financial elements, he thought it was more like a traditional investment scheme than a straightforward real estate deal.
Interesting. So the majority focused on the housing need, while Brennan saw those extra financial perks, even if they weren't huge, as maybe pushing it into security territory. It's almost like he was predicting the blurred lines we see today between, like, buying something you need and actually investing.
Yeah, you're picking up on something really important there. Brennan's dissent, while it didn't win the day back then, it raises questions that are, well, maybe even more relevant now than they were in 75. I mean, we've got all these new ways to invest, new financial instruments popping up all the time. It shows how hard it can be to take a test designed for, a simpler financial world and apply it to the complexities we're dealing with now.
Yeah, that's got to be a real headache for lawyers and regulators trying to keep up with it all. But for the average person, what's the takeaway from United Housing Foundation v. Foreman, especially considering Brennan's point of view?
Well, I think it shows how blurry the line can be between an everyday purchase and an investment contract. It makes you stop and think, what am I really doing here? Am I buying this thing just to use it, or am I hoping to make money off it?
Right. And if there's even a chance making a profit, does that automatically make it a security?
That's where things get tricky. The Howey test gives us a framework, but it's not always a simple yes or no answer. Sometimes, like with Co-op City, something can have both practical value and the potential for financial gain.
So you got to be careful out there, folks. What advice would you give to people trying to navigate these potentially choppy waters, especially with all these new investment opportunities popping up all over the place?
Well, first and foremost, I think it's crucial to really understand what you're getting into. Don't just go by the label or the hype. Ask yourself, what's the underlying structure of this thing? What are my rights and obligations? And be realistic about your expectations for profit.
Sounds like a healthy dose of skepticism is a good thing.
Absolutely. And hey, if you're ever unsure, talking to a legal professional is never a bad idea.
Great advice. Well, we've covered a lot of ground today. From the specifics of United Housing Foundation v. Foreman to, like, the bigger implications for understanding investments in today's world.
And it's pretty amazing how a case about, well, affordable housing in the Bronx can teach us so much about everything from real estate deals to, you know, even the future of cryptocurrency.
It shows how important it is to look beyond the surface and really understand what's going on with a deal, both for legal folks and for, well, anyone who wants to make smart financial choices. Yeah, it's crazy how a case from, like, the 70s about housing is still relevant today.
It really shows how these big legal precedents, like Foreman, they kind of become guideposts, right? We can use them to navigate new legal stuff that comes up.
Especially with technology always changing and, like, creating these new ways to invest and do business. We've talked about crowdfunding, fractional ownership, but the big one, the one everyone's thinking about, is cryptocurrency. So does this case have anything to say about, like, the world of digital assets?
That's a great question. And honestly, it's one that's got legal experts scratching their heads right now. Crypto, you know, with all those digital assets, it's really blurred the lines between, like, traditional investments, and, well, just about everything else. You've got utility tokens, governance tokens, NFTs. They all work differently, and they all have different potential for profit.
It sounds like figuring out how the Howey test applies to crypto could get pretty messy. I mean, where do you even start?
You're telling me. The Howey test, it's a good tool, but it wasn't built for this digital world. So trying to use it for these new assets, it takes a lot of careful thought. You got to consider the unique features of each one. Like, if a token is mainly used to, say, access a platform, it might not be a security. But if it's being marketed as an investment, you know, with promises of big returns, then it might fall under that Howey test definition.
So you got to look past all the fancy tech and figure out what that token really does, how they're selling it.
Exactly. And that's where Forman is really helpful. It reminds us to focus on the substance, not just the form. What are the real economic facts of the situation with this digital asset? Is it basically a utility token, or is it more like a digital version of a company share?
Yeah, those distinctions, they'd be really important for deciding whether something is subject to those securities regulations.
Right, and that's a debate that's happening right now in the legal and regulatory world. Forman is a big precedent, and it reminds us to look at these new technologies through a lens of economic reality. Don't get swept up in all the hype.
So if you're interested in crypto or any of these new investment things, the takeaway is do your homework. Understand what you're really getting into. Don't just jump on the bandwagon without thinking about the legal and financial side of things.
Couldn't have said it better myself. Ask yourself those important questions. What problem does this token or asset actually solve? How does it create value? And most importantly, what are the risks? Making informed decisions, that's key in this fast-moving world.
Great advice. Well, this deep dive into United Housing Foundation v. Forman has been, well, it's been really enlightening. It's amazing how a case about affordable housing in the Bronx can teach us about everything from real estate to, like, the future of crypto.
It shows how those legal precedents, they can have a ripple effect, influencing how we interpret and apply the law to these new situations that keep popping up. And Forman really highlights the importance of critical thinking, asking the right questions, and not just taking things at face value. Got to dig deeper.
So for everyone listening, lawyers, law students, or just anyone interested in the world of finance and tech, this case has some valuable lessons. It can help you navigate this ever-changing financial landscape. Remember, look past the hype, do your research, and make smart choices.
And don't forget, the law is a living thing. It's constantly evolving, adapting to new challenges and innovations. Cases like Forman, they provide a solid foundation for understanding those changes and navigating all the gray areas with a little more confidence.
This deep dive has given you the tools to start exploring those questions yourself. So keep learning, keep asking questions, and most importantly, stay informed.